What do you despise? By this are you truly known. From Manual of Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. They are dead, Baron, said Iachin Nefud, the guard captain. Both the woman and the boy are certainly dead. The Baron Vladimir Harkonnen sat up in the sleep suspensors of his private quarters. Beyond these quarters and enclosing him like a multi-shelled egg stretched the space frigate he had grounded on Arrakis. Here in his quarters, though, the ship's harsh metal was disguised with draperies, with fabric paddings and rare art objects. It is a certainty, the guard captain said. They are dead. The Baron shifted his gross body in the suspensors, focused his attention on an ebeline statue of a leaping boy in a niche across the room. Sleep faded from him. He straightened the padded suspensor beneath the fat folds of his neck, stared across the single glow globe of his bedchamber to the doorway where Captain Nefud stood blocked by the pentashield. They're certainly dead, Baron, the man repeated. The Baron noted the trace of Samuta dullness in Nefud's eyes. It was obvious the man had been deep within the drug's rapture when he received this report, and had stopped only to take the antidote before rushing here. I have a full report, Nefud said. Let him sweat a little, the Baron thought. One must always keep the tools of statecraft sharp and ready. Power and fear, sharp and ready. Have you seen their bodies? The Baron rumbled. Nefud hesitated. Well? My lord, they were seen to dive into a sandstorm. Winds over 800 kilometers. Nothing survives such a storm, my lord. Nothing. One of our own craft was destroyed in the pursuit. The Baron stared at Nefud, noting the nervous twitch in the scissors line of the man's jaw muscles, the way the chin moved as Nefud swallowed. You have seen the bodies, the Baron asked. My lord, for what purpose do you come here rattling your armor? The Baron roared. To tell me a thing is certain when it is not? Do you think I'll praise you for such stupidity? Give you another promotion? Nefud's face went bone pale. Look at the chicken, the Baron thought. I am surrounded by such useless clods. If I scattered sand before this creature and told him it was grain, he'd peck at it. The man Idaho led us to them, then, the Baron asked. Yes, my lord. Look how he blurts out his answer, the Baron thought. He said they were attempting to flee to the Fremen, eh? Yes, my lord. Is there more to this report? The Imperial planetologist Kynes is involved, my lord. Idaho joined this Kynes under mysterious circumstances. I might even say suspicious circumstances. So? They fled together to a place in the desert where it's apparent the boy and his mother were hiding. In the excitement of the chase, several of our groups were caught in a laser gun shield explosion. How many did we lose? I'm not sure yet, my lord. He's lying, the Baron thought. It must have been pretty bad. The Imperial lackey, this Kynes, the Baron said. He was playing a double game, eh? I'd stake my reputation on it, my lord. His reputation? Have the man killed, the Baron said. My lord, Kynes is the Imperial planetologist. His Majesty's own serv— Make it look like an accident, then. My lord, there were Sardaukar with our forces in the subjugation of this Fremen nest. They have Kynes in custody now. Get him away from them. Say I wish to question him. If they demur, They will not if you handle it correctly. Nafood swallowed.
Yes, my lord.
The man must die, the Baron rumbled. He tried to help my enemies. Nafood shifted from one foot to the other. Well?
My lord, the Sardaukar have two persons in custody who might be of interest to you. They've caught the Duke's master of assassins.
Hawat?
Thufir Hawat?
I've seen the captive myself, my lord. 'Tis Hawat.
I'd not have believed it possible. They say he was knocked out by a stunner, my lord, in the desert where he couldn't use his shield. He's virtually unharmed. If we can get our hands on him, he'll provide great sport.
This is a Mentat you speak of, the Baron growled. One doesn't waste a Mentat.
Has he spoken? What does he say of his defeat? Could he know the extent of...
But no.
He has spoken only enough, my lord, to reveal his belief that the Lady Jessica was his betrayer.
Ah.
The Baron sank back, thinking. Then, you're sure? It's the Lady Jessica who attracts his anger.
He said it in my presence, my lord.
Let him think she's alive, then.
But, my lord,
be quiet! I wish Hawat treated kindly. He must be told nothing of the late Dr. Yui, his true betrayer. Let it be said that Dr. Yui died defending his duke. In a way, this may even be true. We will instead feed his suspicions against the Lady Jessica.
My lord,
I don't... The way to control and direct a Mentat, Nafood, is through his information.
False information. False results.
Yes, my lord, but is Hawat hungry? Thirsty?
My lord, Hawat's still in the hands of the Sardaukar.
Yes. Indeed, yes. But the Sardaukar will be as anxious to get information from Hawat as I am. I've noticed a thing about our allies, Nafood. They are not very devious, politically. I do believe this is a deliberate thing. The Emperor wants it that way.
Yes, I do believe it.
You will remind the Sardaukar commander of my renown at obtaining information from reluctant subjects.
Nafood looked unhappy.
Yes, my lord. You will tell the Sardaukar commander that I wish to question both Hawat and this Kynes at the same time, playing one off against the other.
He can understand that much, I think.
Yes, my lord.
And once we have them in our hands, the Baron nodded.
My lord, the Sardaukar will want an observer with you during any questioning. I'm sure we can produce an emergency to draw off any unwanted observers, Nafood.
I understand, my lord.
That's when Kynes can have his accident.
Both Kynes and Hawat will have accidents then, Nafood, but only Kynes will have a real accident.
It's Hawat I want.
Yes. Ah, yes.
Nafood blinked, swallowed. He appeared about to ask a question, but remained silent.
Hawat will be given both food and drink, the Baron said. Treated with kindness, with sympathy. In his water you will administer the residual poison developed by the late Piter de Vries, and you will see that the antidote becomes a regular part of Howitt's diet from this point on, unless I say otherwise.
The antidote, yes.
Nafood shook his head.
But don't be dense, Nafood. The Duke almost killed me with that poison capsule tooth. The gas he exhaled into my presence deprived me of my most valuable mentat, Piter. I need a replacement. Howard? Howard. But you're going to say Howard's completely loyal to the Atreides. True, but the Atreides are dead. We will woo him. He must be convinced he's not to blame for the Duke's demise. It was all the doing of that Bene Gesserit witch. He had an inferior master, one whose reason was clouded by emotion. Mentats admire the ability to calculate without emotion, Nefud. We will woo the formidable Thufir Hawat. Hawat unfortunately had a master whose resources were poor, one who could not elevate a Mentat to the sublime peaks of reasoning that are a Mentat's right. Hawat will see a certain element of truth in this. The Duke couldn't afford the most efficient spies to provide his Mentat with the required information. The Baron stared at Nefud. Let us never deceive ourselves, Nefud. The truth is a powerful weapon. We know how we overwhelmed the Atreides. Hawat knows, too. We did it with wealth.
With wealth? Yes, my lord.
We will woo Hawat, the Baron said. We will hide him from the Sardaukar, and we will hold in reserve the withdrawal of the antidote for the poison. There's no way of removing the residual poison. And, Nefud, Hawat need never suspect. The antidote will not betray itself to a poison snooper. Hawat can scan his food as he pleases and detect no trace of poison. Nefud's eyes opened wide with understanding. The absence of a thing, the Baron said. This can be as deadly as the presence. The absence of air, huh? The absence of water? The absence of anything else we're addicted to? The Baron nodded. You understand me, Nefud? Nefud swallowed.
Yes, my lord.
Then get busy. Find the Sardaukar commander and set things in motion.
At once, my lord.
Nefud bowed, turned, and hurried away. Hawat by my side, the Baron thought. The Sardaukar will give him to me. If they suspect anything at all, it's that I wish to destroy the Mentat. And this suspicion I'll confirm. The fools. One of the most formidable Mentats in all history. A Mentat trained to kill, and they'll toss him to me like some silly toy to be broken. I will show them what use can be made of such a toy. The Baron reached beneath a drapery beside his suspensor bed, pressed a button to summon his older nephew, Raban. He sat back, smiling. And all the Atreides dead. The stupid guard captain had been right, of course. Certainly nothing survived in the path of a sandblast storm on Arrakis. Not an ornithopter or its occupants. The woman and the boy were dead. The bribes in the right places. The unthinkable expenditure to bring overwhelming military force down onto one planet. All the sly reports tailored for the Emperor's ears alone. All the careful scheming were here at last coming to full fruition. Power and fear. Fear and power. The Baron could see the path ahead of him. One day, a Harkonnen would be emperor. Not himself, and no spawn of his loins, but a Harkonnen. Not this Rabban he'd summoned, of course, but Rabban's younger brother, young Fade Rautha. There was a sharpness to the boy that the Baron enjoyed, a ferocity. A lovely boy, the Baron thought. A year or two more. Say, by the time he's 17, I'll know for certain whether he's the tool that House Harkonnen requires to gain the throne. My Lord Baron. The man who stood outside the doorfield of the Baron's bedchamber was low-built, gross of face and body, with the Harkonnen paternal line's narrow-set eyes and bulge of shoulders. There was yet some rigidity in his fat, but it was obvious to the eye that he'd come one day to the portable suspensors for carrying his excess weight. A muscle-minded tank brain, the Baron thought. No Mentat, my nephew. Not a Piter de Vries, but perhaps something more precisely devised for the task at hand. If I give him freedom to do it, he'll grind over everything in his path. Oh, how he'll be hated here on Arrakis. My dear Rabban, the Baron said. He released the doorfield, but pointedly kept his body shield at full strength, knowing that the shimmer of it would be visible above the bedside glow globe. You summoned me, Rabban said. He stepped into the room, flicked a glance past the air disturbance of the body shield, searched for a suspensor chair, found none. Stand closer where I can see you easily, the Baron said. Rabban advanced another step, thinking that the damnable old man had deliberately removed all chairs, forcing a visitor to stand. The Atreides are dead, the Baron said. The last of them. That's why I summoned you here to Arrakis. This planet is again yours. Rabban blinked. But I thought you were going to advance Piter de Vries to the... Piter, too, is dead. Piter? Piter. The Baron reactivated the doorfield, blanked it against all energy penetration. You finally tired of him, huh? Rabban asked. His voice fell flat and lifeless in the energy-blanketed room. I will say a thing to you just this once, the Baron rumbled. You insinuate that I obliterated Piter as one obliterates a trifle. He snapped fat fingers. Just like that, eh? I am not so stupid, nephew. I will take it unkindly if ever again you suggest by word or action that I am so stupid. Fear showed in the squinting of Rabban's eyes. He knew within certain limits how far the old Baron would go against family, seldom to the point of death unless there were outrageous profit or provocation in it. But family punishments could be painful. Forgive me, my Lord Baron, Rabban said. He lowered his eyes as much to hide his own anger as to show subservience. You do not fool me, Rabban, the Baron said. Rabban kept his eyes lowered, swallowed. I make a point, the Baron said. Never obliterate a man unthinkingly, the way an entire fief might do it through some due process of law. Always do it for an overriding purpose, and know your purpose. Anger spoke in Rabban. But you obliterated the traitor, Yui. I saw his body being carried out as I arrived last night. Rabban stared at his uncle, suddenly frightened by the sound of those words. But the Baron smiled. I'm very careful about dangerous weapons, he said. Dr. Yui was a traitor. He gave me the Duke. Strength poured into the Baron's voice. I suborned a doctor of the Sook School, the Inner School. You hear, boy? But that's a wild sort of weapon to leave lying about. I didn't obliterate him casually. Does the Emperor know you suborned a Sook doctor? This was a penetrating question, the Baron thought. Have I misjudged this nephew? The Emperor doesn't know it yet, the Baron said. But his Sardaukar are sure to report it to him. Before that happens, though, I'll have my own report in his hands through Chome Company channels. I will explain that I luckily discovered a doctor who pretended to the conditioning. A false doctor, you understand. Since everyone knows you cannot counter the conditioning of a Sook school, this will be accepted. Ah, I see, Raban murmured. And the Baron thought, indeed, I hope you do see. I hope you do see how vital it is that this remain secret. The Baron suddenly wondered at himself. Why did I do that? Why did I boast to this fool nephew of mine? The nephew I must use and discard. The Baron felt anger at himself. He felt betrayed. It must be kept secret, Raban said. I understand. The Baron sighed. I give you different instructions about Arrakis this time, nephew. When last you ruled this place, I held you in strong rein. This time, I have only one requirement. M'lord? Income. Income? Have you any idea, Raban, how much we spent to bring such military force to bear on the Atreides? Do you have even the first inkling of how much the Guild charges for military transport? Expensive, huh? Expensive? The Baron shot a fat arm toward Raban. If you squeeze Arrakis for every cent it can give us for 60 years, you'll just barely repay us. Raban opened his mouth, closed it without speaking. Expensive, the Baron sneered. The damnable Guild monopoly on space would have ruined us if I hadn't planned for this expense long ago. You should know, Raban, that we bore the entire brunt of it. We even paid for transport of the Sardaukar. And not for the first time, the Baron wondered if there ever would come a day when the Guild might be circumvented. They were insidious, bleeding off just enough to keep the host from objecting until they had you in their fist, where they could force you to pay and pay and pay. Always the exorbitant demands rode upon military ventures. Hazard rates, the oily Guild agents explained. And for every agent you managed to insert as a watchdog in the Guild bank structure, they put 2 agents into your system. Insufferable. Income, then, Raban said. The Baron lowered his arm, made a fist. You must squeeze. And I may do anything I wish as long as I squeeze. Anything. The cannons you brought, Raban said. Could I? I'm removing them, the Baron said. But you won't need such toys. They were a special innovation and are now useless. We need the metal. They cannot go against a shield, Raban. They were merely the unexpected. It was predictable that the Duke's men would retreat into cliff caves on this abominable planet. Our cannon merely sealed them in.
The Fremen don't use shields. You may keep some laser guns if you wish.
Yes, my lord. And I have a free hand.
As long as you squeeze.
Raban's smile was gloating.
I understand perfectly, my lord.
You understand nothing perfectly, the Baron growled. Let us have that clear at the outset. What you do understand is how to carry out my orders. Has it occurred to you, nephew, that there are at least 5 million persons on this planet?
Does my lord forget that I was his regent Cyrodiil here before?
And if my lord will forgive me, his estimate may be low. It's difficult to count a population scattered among sinks and pans the way they are here. And when you consider the Fremen of...
The Fremen aren't worth considering.
Forgive me, my lord, but the Sardaukar believe otherwise. The Baron hesitated, staring at his nephew.
You know something?
My lord had retired when I arrived last night. I took the liberty of contacting some of my lieutenants from before. They've been acting as guides to the Sardaukar. They report that a Fremen band ambushed a Sardaukar force somewhere southeast of here and wiped it out.
Wiped out? A Sardaukar force?
Yes, my lord.
Impossible!
Raban shrugged.
Fremen defeating Sardaukar, the Baron sneered.
I repeat only what was reported to me, Raban said. It is said this Fremen force already had captured the Duke's redoubtable Thufir Hawat.
Ah.
The Baron nodded, smiling. I believe the report, Raban said. You've no idea what a problem the Fremen were.
Perhaps, but these weren't Fremen your lieutenants saw. They must have been Atreides men trained by Howard and disguised as Fremen. It's the only possible answer.
Again, Raban shrugged. Well, the Sardaukar think they were Fremen. The Sardaukar already have launched a program to wipe out all Fremen.
Good.
But it'll keep the Sardaukar occupied. And we'll soon have Hawat.
I know it. I can feel it. Ah, this has been a day. The Sardaukar off hunting a few useless desert bands while we get the real prize.
My lord, Raban hesitated, frowning. I've always felt that we underestimated the Fremen, both in numbers and in...
Ignore them, boy. They are rabble. It's the populous towns, cities, and villages that concern us. A great many people there, huh?
A great many, my lord.
They worry me, Raban.
Worry you?
Oh, 90% of them are of no concern. But there are always a few. Houses minor and so on. People of ambition who might try a dangerous thing. If one of them should get off Arrakis with an unpleasant story about what happened here, I'd be... most displeased. Have you any idea how displeased I'd be?
Raban swallowed.
You must take immediate measures to hold a hostage from each house minor, the Baron said. As far as anyone off Arrakis must learn, this was straightforward house-to-house battle. The Sardaukar had no part in it. You understand?
The Duke was offered the usual quarter and exile, but he died in an unfortunate accident before he could accept. He was about to accept, though. That is the story. And any rumor that there were Sardaukar here, it must be laughed at.
As the Emperor wishes it, Raban said. As the Emperor wishes it.
What about the smugglers?
No one believes smugglers, Raban. They are tolerated, but not believed.
At any rate, you will be spreading some bribes in that quarter,
and taking other measures which I'm sure you can think of.
Yes, my lord.
Two things from Arrakis, then, Raban. Income and a merciless fist. You must show no mercy here. Think of these clods as what they are, slaves envious of their masters and waiting only the opportunity to rebel. Not the slightest vestige of pity or mercy must you show them.
Can one exterminate an entire planet? Raban asked.
Exterminate?
Surprise showed in the swift turning of the Baron's head.
Who said anything about exterminating?
Well, I presumed you were going to bring in new stock, and
I said squeeze, nephew, not exterminate. Don't waste the population. Merely drive them into utter submission. You must be the carnivore, my boy.
He smiled, a baby's expression in the dimple fat face. A carnivore never stops. Show no mercy.
Never stop. Mercy is a chimera. It can be defeated by the stomach rumbling its hunger, by the throat crying its thirst. You must be always hungry and thirsty.
The Baron caressed his bulges beneath the suspensors.
Like me.
I see, my lord.
Raban swung his gaze left and right. It's all clear then, nephew.
Except for one thing, uncle. The planetologist, Kynes.
Ah, yes. Kynes.
He's the Emperor's man, my lord. He can come and go as he pleases. And he's very close to the Fremen. Married one.
Kynes will be dead by tomorrow's nightfall.
That's dangerous work, uncle. Killing an Imperial servant.
How do you think I've come this far, this quickly? The Baron demanded.
His voice was low, charged with unspeakable adjectives.
Besides, you need never have feared Kynes would leave Arrakis. You're forgetting that he's addicted to the spice.
Of course.
Those who know we'll do nothing to endanger their supply, the Baron said.
Kynes certainly must know.
I forgot, Raban said.
They stared at each other in silence.
Presently the Baron said, incidentally, you will make my own supply one of your first concerns. I've quite a stockpile of private stuff, but that suicide raid by the Duke's men got most of what we'd stored for sale.
Raban nodded.
Yes, my lord.
The Baron brightened.
Now, tomorrow morning, you will assemble what remains of organization here, and you'll say to them, our sublime Padishah Emperor has charged me to take possession of this planet and end all dispute. I understand, my lord. This time, I'm sure you do. We will discuss it in more detail tomorrow. Now leave me to finish my sleep.
The Baron deactivated his door field, watched his nephew out of sight.
A tank brain, the Baron thought. Muscle-minded tank brain. They will be bloody pulp here when he's through with them. Then, when I send in Fader Arthur to take the load off them, they'll cheer their rescuer. Beloved Fader Arthur, benign Fader Arthur, the compassionate one who saves them from a beast. Fader Arthur, a man to follow and die for. The boy will know by that time how to oppress with impunity. I'm sure he's the one we need. He'll learn. And such a lovely body. Really a lovely boy.